Thanks for joining us for another episode of Digitally Diverse, the podcast where we do a deep dive into the movers and shakers in the tech and design industry. Today, we are so grateful to have the lovely Gloria Chan here with us, who is the head of design at Wiza. Thank you so much for joining us, Gloria.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. I guess for those of our listeners that, you know, are unfamiliar with yourself, can you give us an overview of who you are and your career to date and what you're up to?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. So I started out studying design visual communications at uni. I always knew I wanted to be a designer. I just loved drawing and loved creating visuals. And so I interned in a design agency that specialized in newspaper design and editorial design. And that was really great. I got to work on New Zealand Weekend Herald, so when newspapers were actually a physical thing, working on the redesign of HBR magazine, which as an intern was just an amazing project to be a part of. And then I specialized in branding. So as a designer, I moved really deeply into the branding space and specifically large-scale rebrands. I'm creating brand identities from scratch. Again, working with a really small team, so I was just lucky to kind of join an agency where I could basically poke my nose into everything, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. And so I developed just a love of creating ideas from understanding people and thinking about kind of perceptions of how people, I guess, think about their world and think about the brands they love and ideas that they love. Mm-hmm. So I did this for a while, and a couple of years into my career, I kind of came at a crossroads and decided I'm just going to go out on my own and do this freelancing. So I did that while still in Sydney for a few months. And then my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband, we thought, let's move overseas. And so we decided to go to the UK and had nothing planned and kind of went over there and freelanced in branding. And I found myself moving into the innovation space and consultancy. And so from there, that's where I started to manage teams that were mixed kind of designers, brand designers, experience designers, UI, UX. Mm-hmm. And that really was just a fun place to be in and kind of evolved into the role that I'm in now as head of design at Wiza.
Love that. And yeah, I think sounds like your journey was kind of a little bit similar to a lot of people that we've had on the podcast before, in that you started in what some would say would be like quite a traditional design space, like branding and going into consultancy, and then from there realizing there's this whole different UX UI world out there. Was there a particular catalyst for you like getting bit by that bug?
I think, to be honest, when I first started out in my career, UX didn't exist. Mm-hmm. The options that were presented at the time, you know, as a visual communications graduate, I think editorial design roles were like the dream job. Mm-hmm. So I was very lucky that I had that experience. But the next best thing was branding. But I think brand, UX, even, you know, kind of editorial publishing design, I think it is all really about understanding the user. You know, understanding how someone experiences the information you're conveying to them, understands the ideas you're trying to convey in the brand or the feeling of a company. So I would say UX is a very modern idea in the design world, but I think we've been doing it throughout all the various industries. So it sort of felt like a natural evolution when I moved formally into it.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting take. And I've never thought of it like that before, that, you know, the like you as a branding designer are almost crafting that user experience with the brand, where now you've kind of like moved into more of like, okay, it's like a product user experience. It's like just a different light. Yeah, no, that's really cool. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about Wiza and what you're doing there. Can you fill us in about what you're up to?
Yeah, definitely. Wiser is a fintech, and we're based in Sydney at the Rocks, beautiful Rocks. And we call ourselves a purpose-driven company because we like to set ourselves apart in the fact that we give out personal loans, but we also have a high purpose in helping people sort of understand their relationship with money and help them develop skills and give them tools and financial education to think about their financial wellness. So not only, you know, in the present when they get a loan out with us, but how are they taking steps to improve their relationship with money? So I'm really lucky that I have a small team of designers and we work with all parts of the business. We have a few products that we work on, but we work in a really collaborative, cross-functional, different teams across the organization. It's a great culture because I think everyone has that kind of higher purpose of financial wellness in mind. So it means every time we bring a product out to market or we think of new ideas, we've always got that mission in the back of our minds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. And it's really refreshing to hear that, you know, I feel like a lot of fintechs in particular, they love to, you know, talk the talk about how they're very purpose-led and values-driven, but it sounds like Wiser are, you know, actually walking the walk as well. So what kind of projects, and I know you probably can't go into specifics, but what kind of like problems are you guys facing at the moment? Is there anything in particular that you can share with us?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the problem space of financial wellness in itself is just, it's like a wicked problem, right? It's so complex. Yeah. It's universal. It's pervasive throughout all aspects of people's lives. You know, money is there constantly, whether you're thinking about it consciously or not. I think the main purpose of Wiser is really to attack that problem from multiple perspectives. Mm-hmm. And so specifically my role as head of design is thinking about how do we create experiences that help people in the short term. And that may be as simple as how do we create a really good loan application form that is easy to understand and someone can get through and complete and know that at the end of their form they're going to get a decision about whether they get money or not, to mm-hmm. as big as what is the next solution or idea we can give to Australians to help them think more about the psychology of their money. So my role tends to be quite broad in thinking about aspects of, you know, very detailed usability as well as kind of blue sky thinking as well.
Yeah, that like mix of strategy and like really broad design thinking. And then, are you still on the tools day to day?
Sometimes, depends what week you ask me. Less and less so because, to be honest, my team's so good, I don't want to get in their way. Mm-hmm. We collaborate quite a lot.
A bit later.
Yeah, I mean, I am on the tools in that. I mean, literally this morning I was on Figma, but mm-hmm. I'd say I'm probably more in tools such as Miro and thinking about how do we pull a story together or what's actually the idea and the strategy behind what we're doing. Because, yeah, in terms of delivering dev-ready designs, my team are 200 times better than me at doing that.
I know, it's a sign of a good leader that you know where other people's strengths are and to to give them the tools to do what they do best. You mentioned before that you did a degree in visual communication and design. Was there a particular reason why you went down that path? Can you talk us through what your higher education experience was like?
Yeah, sure. This is probably not a great story to tell. I actually, at the time, had a really nice boyfriend. We were deciding what we were going to study after high school. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about nursing and design. He kind of pushed me towards visual communications and I'm really grateful that he did. I ended up actually choosing VizCom in combination with international studies, which
cool.
I got to take a year overseas, and that was essentially the reason why I did that combination degree. Mm-hmm. So in high school I had learned a lot of German and I had really good family in Germany that I had become really close to. So international studies basically let me spend a year overseas in Germany in a city called Potsdam, which is like half hour from Berlin. And so I thought, cool. Yeah, I'm going to do this double degree so I can do that. but visual communications for me was just an amazing degree. I think it was just so inspiring to be around people who were like-minded, and at the time I didn't think they were like-minded, but when I reflect back, I realize what a special environment it was, that everyone was kind of in this mental state of, I'm just going to absorb as much as I can about communicating visually. I think it's an interesting academic kind of path to take, especially for someone like me from an Asian background. And I just loved sort of being in that environment where other people are like, yeah, this is actually a profession that I can do and I don't have to be a doctor or a lawyer and it's just as prestigious.
Definitely. Yeah, that I've never really thought of it that way before, in like you're almost like in a think tank for like 4 years of your life. you just are trying to absorb as much as possible. And it's super interesting that you mentioned, you know, that, you know, because of your background, it was, you know, was it kind of considered an unusual choice for you to make degree wise?
I think definitely it was an unusual choice for I wouldn't say for my immediate family, but I guess people who we knew around us, you know, other families, other people my age from Asian backgrounds. My parents have always been pretty open to whatever I wanted to do. And so I was very lucky in that sense. But yeah, it was, I just felt really lucky that that was a degree that I could choose. And yeah, I had the chance to study with a bunch of people who as passionate about being creative as I was. And I got to, you know, learn German as a language and spend a year overseas.
Yeah. How was that? Were you studying design in Germany, or was it more of a like arts couple of semesters? What was that like?
Yeah, it was more an arts couple of semesters. So essentially, I could study any topic that I wanted as long as the course was delivered in German. So I took on things like philosophy, German literature.
So you like went in the deep end. Let's pick the hardest things that we can in another language.
It was just such a great experience because I studied at UTS and we just had a really great international studies coordinator. And she was like, look, this year is not about your grades. This is just about being open to learning, experiencing new cultures. So you can study whatever you want. I just want you to build relationships and have a good time. And that is the exact mentality I went over with. And I am so thankful for that course coordinator and thankful that that was a degree that I could take part in, because it was like one of the best decisions of my life, I think.
I love that. And so many people who have like traveled and like studied abroad always say like it was really hard, but it was the best decision I've ever made. So yeah, that's great to hear that, you know, that that's like one of the most forming times of your life, it seems.
Yeah.
Is potentially studying abroad or doing a tertiary degree in design, is that something that you'd recommend to like potential students or people wanting to get into design?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you get the chance to travel, if you get the chance to study overseas, 100% you should take it, because the world is just so much bigger than what we know in our immediate sphere. Right. So any opportunity to expand your knowledge, to meet new people, to discover new perspectives, I think is a great opportunity. So I would definitely do it again. For people starting out in design, I think a tertiary degree is really awesome, but I am not a purist in that I think you need to have a degree to be a designer. I think a lot of designers, intuitive and sensory people, and I know a lot of great designers who didn't study design and who now, you know, work in the space and their skills are just as great. Tertiary degrees are great in, I think having the formal kind of theory and knowledge and context of design history, mm-hmm. and I found that really valuable. But I think learning tools is something that you can do separately from uni. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's one path to becoming a good designer.
Yeah, I think I completely agree with all of that. I also did VizCom at uni and I loved it. However, yeah. You're so right. It's a lot of theory, which for yes. some people I personally really enjoyed. But for some people, they were just thinking that it was an absolute snooze fest and they just wanted to mess around on Illustrator at that time. I'm showing my age. Yeah, you're so right. You don't need the qualification to be an absolute design superstar in 2023, which is really nice. But, you know, if it is helpful if you are that way inclined. So, no, that's great. And what you touched on as well with learning about other people's different perspectives and how traveling overseas like allowed you to just broaden your perspectives a little bit. I think that's super important for like especially a good user experience designer to have, is to realize that the more diverse perspectives that you have when you're creating something, it's just going to make the project and the platform and the product better. So no, that's great that you're able to see that and see the value in that.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because UX in particular, the more I work in that space, the more I realize it is really about psychology. It is really about understanding people and behaviors and, you know, what makes something easy, what adds friction. I think all of that as a designer, there is a sense of gut intuition, but also just exposing yourself to other people, their situations, their perspectives. I think that really adds to your understanding of all those things. And it's mm-hmm. probably not something that you can necessarily learn, like, you know, in a uni degree. I think a part mm-hmm. of it is just getting out there into the world and talking to people, asking questions, trying new products.
Yeah. Totally agree. Yeah, if they had like a class at uni that's like just a whole semester on like how to ask good questions, I feel like a lot of people would get a lot of value out of that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there was something from memory in one of my subjects about qualitative interviewing techniques and asking open-ended mm-hmm. questions. I vaguely remember mm-hmm. some sort of subject about that, but those learnings are still things that I use every day now. I think having those fundamentals of how to be inquisitive and how to ask good questions, how to take the approach of and this rather than but, kind of, you know, that negative rebuttal. I think you get more positive responses from building on top of someone's idea rather than kind of just shooting it down straight away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I think those kind of like those social skills, right? Like it is quite a social industry to be in, and like a job that is all about connection. Those kind of skills do come with time and experience mm-hmm. and, you know, you can't really teach that at uni. So no, thanks for showing your perspective on that, because that's super interesting. So, Gloria, I'd love to know what lights you up, what inspires you to do the work that you're doing at the moment with Wiser?
So at the moment, I think I touched on this point a bit. I think just the fact that I can work in this space, you know, in UX and design and get paid to basically create ideas and perception, I think that mm-hmm. that is always like the motivation for me. I just feel really lucky that this is a viable career that I've had for so long. The other thing is just also the people I work with. I think you mentioned design is a collaborative sport or something along those lines. And definitely that is, on a day-to-day basis, one of the most motivating things that keep me going, just talking to my colleagues, even talking to people outside of work. Most people don't think about it as a universal topic, but I think it is. You know, I think when people talk about brands they like or products they like, they are inadvertently talking about design. And when I'm talking to my colleagues and we're collaborating, and I find so much of my role now is really just about collaborating, getting people together in a room to talk about an idea or to figure out a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I find that's just continues to motivate me because the conversations are always different. The problems we're solving are different. The solutions we come up with are always different as well. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great. And it's so nice to hear that you have such a such an element of gratitude around your work, which to me is like really quite refreshing. It's nice to hear that someone in the industry is like, you find it like a privilege to be here and a privilege to be able to create the impact that you're doing. So no, that's, and I guess from that standpoint, has there been any speed bumps that you faced in your career that's kind of fostered that element of gratitude?
Speed bumps. Yeah, I was thinking about this question. I mean, I think the gratitude piece is because starting out, I think, in branding was super interesting for me because essentially as a designer, when you're creating a new identity, for example, you're starting from scratch, right? You're literally creating from a blank page. And I think there are not many roles where you can do that. So I think that's why I've always kept in mind, like, wow, this is like so awesome that I can do this for a living and kind of evolve to UX. Leaving Sydney and moving to the UK with nothing lined up, I don't think it was a speed bump, but I think it was one of the most challenging points in my career because I think you just have to trust that you will find something. And so leaving Sydney where I had a pretty stable kind of lineup of basically freelance jobs that I could have very comfortably kept going with between a few studios. That was awesome. I just knew that I wanted to experience more and kind of work in a different market. And so the UK is obviously a really huge like design market. So I thought that was the best place to go. And I really had to trust that it would be okay. So I kind of went over not knowing who the best agencies were, took my time to research that and then just made up a hit list. Like these are all the agencies that I love based off the blogs I was reading, the work that I'd seen. And I just went through my list, cold contacted everyone through email with a portfolio, tailored every single portfolio to that agency, to what I thought would resonate more with them. And you know, it may only be that I adjusted one page, but I still thought it was important to do that.
As a recruiter, thank you.
Yeah, I think the really nice thing that I discovered was that people are helpful by nature and, you know, responses were always really positive. And I actually just made a lot of contacts through doing that and kind of putting myself out there. So it was like a challenging aspect in that no one kind of asked me to do that. No one motivated me to do that. I just had to be really self-motivated and believe that it would work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, having that trust is frightening, to say the least. I've done it myself. It's really scary, especially because you don't realize, like, you'd think that the UK is pretty similar to Australia, but everything is like just in a different color almost. Like it's all the same, but like the brands are just slightly different and you don't know what any of the banks are. And like they're all just like slightly just a different shade. And it's really fun and exciting though once you actually do realize like, hey, like it's going to be a softer landing than what you thought.
Mm.
Yeah, but you're right. You just have to have that self-motivation to be able to, you know, say, okay, well, I'll take care of it when I land and we'll just get on with it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's also like it was a huge learning curve for me because it also kind of proved, and I've always lived by this attitude, that it's better to just learn by doing. Like I think sometimes you can just overanalyze, get paralyzed by analysis. Whereas yep. if you just start doing something, maybe it's 50% right, but it will get better. Like mm-hmm. it can only get better because you've started something as opposed to not doing anything. I think yeah. that's been a really helpful kind of mindset to have just throughout a design career where you have to have quite a thick skin.
Yes, definitely. And I guess yourself being a woman now in a leadership position, how has that come about? And has there been like influential people or like mentors that you've had throughout your career?
Yeah, I was thinking about this question a lot since we last spoke because I knew you were going to ask me about this. Initially, I was going to say when I started out in my career, there weren't many female leaders that were visible to me. As in starting out as an intern, when I looked out to the industry, it felt like a male-dominated industry. But what I actually found is when I started working in the industry, I was very lucky in that I connected with a few female leaders, and they weren't necessarily in design. Some of them were copywriters, some of them were in PR.
Mm-hmm.
But what was really inspiring was that these were like women who were really great at their careers. They were leaders in their space. And I think I kind of found that person in each different phase of my career. And that really helped me just to build confidence and, yeah, kind of know that it's possible for women to reach really senior levels. There isn't like, there is still like a ceiling in place, but I think things are getting better. I don't prescribe to the attitude of because I'm a female, I can't be as successful as a male.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I say that really seriously because I have two kids, so it's very hard to struggle. And as a female, you know, there's just so much mental load having kids, having a career. But I genuinely think, you know, if you've got the right support people in place, mentors as well as family, friends, and network, mm-hmm. you can be a really great leader as a female as well as having a family.
Love that. And yeah, I know that the struggle is real. And I really love the fact that getting into the industry now, I think last time I checked, I can look at a bit of the background on LinkedIn. And based mm-hmm. on LinkedIn, the graduates of design degrees and boot camps and design education places at the moment, it's actually 51% female to 49% male. So we're the industry, design industry as a whole is doing really well with that ratio. However, once you do get into like those more leadership positions, it starts to skew a little bit more towards males. So I'm really, really interested to see what that is going to look like in the next, you know, 10, 15 years once, you know, the graduates of 2023 are moving up into those leadership positions, what that ratio is actually really going to look like. So yeah, and you're so right. Like the more representation that we have in the industry for just people in general kicking butt, the better. So yeah, I think it's so true. Like if you have those good the good companies that, you know, really take that seriously are going to be the places that foster these really great leaders. So yeah, sounds like Wiser are doing a good job so far.
Yeah, and I also found in my career, like when I reflect back, I think in each of my roles I had a really strong female mentor who took a chance on me.
Yeah.
In some cases, you know, I had a strong female and strong male mentor who took a chance on me. And it's, I guess the reflection is that, you know, starting out in your design career or whatever career you're going in, the main goal should be to build relationships, to build really good mm-hmm. relationships with each individual you meet, because mm-hmm. that's how you learn and how you find those connections. And probably a lot of the people who were my mentors maybe don't even realize that they were my mentors. But we had a great...
It shouldn't be like a formal thing, right? Like
yeah.
You can... Exactly. Yeah. It can look like just eavesdropping to them, like how they speak to a certain person on the phone. Be like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to pick that up and exactly. I'm going to implement that. Or like just seeing how they tackle a certain problem or, you know, it's these little like micro pickups that mm-hmm. it's not as if you have to have a formal one-on-one sit-down mentor-mentee lunch every month. Like it can just yeah. be like that day-to-day interactions that build up those relationships.
Yeah, exactly. And mm-hmm. and if you mm-hmm. have a relationship with that one person, you know, they may bring you in on a project that they wouldn't have thought of otherwise. Or
yeah,
for example, in the UK, when I moved eventually from freelancing to a permanent role in an innovation company, that was just because I had gotten to know the female director at the time and she took a chance on me. And I think that was just based off us talking as humans, me being really clear on what I was looking for. And at the time I said, I want to go permanent somewhere, but I want flexibility because I'm in London. I still want to travel, but I have all these ambitions in my career. And we just had a really real conversation and connected. And that was, yeah, that was kind of the reason that I was able to do that role, because of that individual and us making that connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Utilize that network, everyone. So, Gloria, what takes up your spare time? Is there anything that you do outside of work that you feel like really helps your productivity?
I don't know if it helps my productivity, but my kids take up my spare time. I've got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, both girls.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, you know what, they do help with my productivity because they kind of give a real reason to stop work, right? Like if they're home and I'm working, it doesn't work. So it actually helps because I get a dedicated break. Yeah. And then I have to really be present and focus on them. So I think that's been helpful for me. The other thing that I do in my spare time is that I work for I help out with a not-for-profit called Global Sisters. And they're an awesome organization who have a series of coaching and they have access to things like microloans and business partners. And they help women in Australia who kind of don't have a way to formal means of income. So these women are sort of looking to start side hustles and small businesses. And so Global Sisters sort of help in that journey. So I help out with that as an SME in product design. And I find that actually really helps with my productivity because, again, it's kind of like a distinction between, you know, my work, everyday work, and then something on the side. And so it's like a nice little mental refresh. Yeah.
No, that's so cool. And I've never heard of Global Sisters before. I'd love if you could like give us a bit of a spiel on what you do there.
Yeah. So at the moment I'm working on a specific project with them. We're trying to evolve the experience for sisters, so the women who we're supporting, evolving their digital experience to how they access coaching, how they find the tools and resources that they need. So we're working on, I'm not going to say too much, but we're working on a product that's going to help them do that.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's just really great that it's Global Sisters, the team, the core team are predominantly female, so it's nice to just be around really strong, smart women. And we also obviously work with a bunch of other smart men as well, and it's a really inspiring organization and really inspiring to hear when women pitch their business ideas, just to see the confidence that they have to, you know, stick their neck out and be like, here's an idea I have, here's how I think it could work, and these are my next steps. It's just so powerful to see women kind of taking control of their lives in such a positive way.
Yeah, that's so cool. I'm getting a vision of like a not-for-profit Shark Tank, but a lot more wholesome.
Like
is that kind of what it's like?
Yeah. A lot of what Global Sisters do is also about helping women build the confidence. May have been working with a side hustle for a while and, you know, are looking to scale it and need support. Other women realize that they can't get a regular job, but they have all these skills. And then it's about them discovering that, hey, actually my skill in, for example, knitting or crafts could actually become a viable job for me that can, you know, help in my financial situation. So, yeah, mm-hmm. It's really interesting. Every woman starts their journey at a different point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, that's awesome that you're able to get involved with that. And, yeah, I mean, quick side note, feel free to cut this out, Jasper, but if you could like send us any links or anything that we can like highlight on the bio for this episode, I'm sure that the listeners would love to hear more about it. But that's great. And I guess with, you know, you being so lovely to join us on this podcast, is there any podcast that you like to listen to or like any media that you like to consume? What's your go-to?
I was trying to think of like a really smart podcast to mention. There is actually one design podcast that I quite like that I've started listening to recently, which is Creativity Sucks, which is chaired by the editor of Creative Review magazine. So they're based out in the UK. She just has really interesting conversations with a lot of the leaders in the design industry. All sorts of different topics, you know, things like does sex still sell? Why are digital products hard? So that's kind of like a design-specific podcast that I thought was interesting. But otherwise, I just, like everyone else, sometimes at the end of the day I feel a bit brain dead, so I go to Netflix and just watch terrible shows.
Preaching to the converted.
I watched... Yeah. Recently, like the last installment of Jurassic Park. I didn't even realize they had made a last installment, and like all the old characters from the very first version came in with the new characters, like Chris Pratt. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's all like,
but to be honest, I kind of fall asleep through movies now.
Hey, if you're a mum of two kids, five and under, then that is totally fine. You take all the naps that you can get. That's totally fair. Oh my gosh. No, thank you for that. And I mean, I like to end the podcast with the question of, if you could give your younger self some career advice, what would that be?
The one thing that I think I would tell my younger self is just to really enjoy the moment, whatever moment you're in. I think maybe, I don't know if it's this generation or it's probably universal. I think young people are always thinking about the next thing. What's my next move? What's the next best thing I'm going to do? What's my future look like? But I think sometimes you just got to stop and be like, wow, this is currently what I'm doing. I'm creating this awesome product, or I'm defining the tone of voice for this new brand. Sometimes it's good just to take stock of where you are and be like, this is pretty awesome. So my advice to my younger self is like, don't worry too much about what the next career step is, but just really take in what you're doing now, because chances are it's probably something you're not going to do again in the specifics of that experience. So just enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Thank you so, so much. thank you so much for coming on. I've learned so, so much. And yeah, I think you're doing some really incredible things. It's really great to hear about your journey and how you got to where you're at. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.